Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. Hour number two already on a Saturday morning. Let's go down to G-Town now. Tiki Island, little old community right there off of West Bay and Jones Lake. Check in with Captain James Plogg. JP, what's up, man?
Oh, come on, dude. What's happening?
Oh, nothing. Just another Saturday, brother.
Oh, man. I was sitting there doing something. Said, no Jeff Coates. Uh-oh. No Jeff Coates.
Yeah. Well, he's in the river bottom, man. It's
getting squirrels and acorns or what.
I don't know what he's doing this morning. He's trying to get him a big deer down there, but he's not having too good luck. He's got one. He just can't get it in his sights.
Well, that's why you call it hunting. Think
we got it tough. I mean, they're trying to kill one deer, and we're trying to catch everything that swims, man.
Ain't that the damn truth? Oh, man, it didn't. Actually, I got canceled on for tomorrow like a week ago, and I went and played golf. I didn't even try to book it. Yeah. But, it wasn't no good, man. Fishing was good. Fishing was better yesterday. I'm telling you, you look at the actual, and I ain't never understood this. I've said this before. The actual day of the new moon, or the actual day of the new moon. It sucks, man. It's
we
just not any good.
See, down south, it's good. Up here, it's not.
It ain't no good here.
The way our bay's set up and the few passes we have left entering the bay, the currents, the tides, everything's better for us near a full moon, around it, and even after it compared to anywhere else.
It's just the actual day. And you can't tell me there's a big difference between the day before the actual full moon and a full moon. I ain't never understood it. But you can ask anybody Thursday that fished, and it sucked. I don't care. Ask anybody. Now, they may lie to you. They may lie to you.
Oh,
we got plenty of that going on.
I don't.
Yeah, you got them. Yeah, you got six or you got seven. Was it any good? It was terrible. Because we caught them, but it was terrible. Well, these guys been fishing me for 30 years. They couldn't catch nothing. I think we caught eight, and I caught seven of them. I'm like, what are y'all doing? And they were apologizing to me. He said, man, your day would have been a lot better if we could have caught something. I said, yeah, it would have, but who cares? But, I mean, I care because I want y'all to catch them. I don't care if I catch anything.
Well,
but
that's when you know fishing is slow because, like, you got a whole crew and only one guy catches all the fish.
You're exactly right.
Certain pattern and technique, whatever he's doing it right, and nobody else can duplicate it. And that's when them fish are finicky like that.
Yeah, that's when
everybody's getting bites. Hey, that's what you want.
They're biting. And I told him, I said, man, Keith, don't worry about it. Fishing was crappy anyway. But I don't know why they couldn't catch it. I said, look, man, just throw straight out there. I looked at Keith. He's got his rod up in there. I said, Keith, you better put that tip down. You're just dragging that bait up. You got to just throw it and just point your rod at the water and reel it straight in. But still, in the grand scheme of things, I might have had 10 bites, maybe 11. So, no, it was terrible. So I talked to Kenny yesterday, and he caught fish at places that I beat up on Thursday, and it was just terrible. And they caught them pretty good. I think he had a couple guys, and they caught, he said they came in 11 o'clock, and they caught 15, 16 fish.
Yeah.
So it was good. Charlie caught him yesterday, but I'm telling you go survey everybody that fished on Thursday and tell me how good it was. I guarantee it wasn't no good.
Yeah.
So, but it's just like Charlie said, it's, man, this is different. I mean, it ain't just here. It's everywhere. Hey, I know people in Baffin Bay that don't even get a bite, dude. That ain't even getting a bite.
Yeah.
In Baffin Bay. So they can tell you all
my
that
buds,
stuff
they had a good
too.
Trip down there. They caught a lot of fish.
Well, that's
a lot
good.
Of oversized fish.
Yeah, well, this is, some time ago. I talked to Jim, I think, Saturday before last. They never had a bite. Now, the fishing in Port Mansfield has been steady, is what he told me. But, you got so many fish down there, it's you know, when you got a lot of them everywhere, I mean, you can, you know, it can be a little better, you know, than what you got going. But I talked to Hillman for a long time yesterday.
Hillman?
Yesterday? Yeah. His whole week was terrible.
Yeah, and last week was good. He had a good week, and this week it's a whole different ball game.
Yeah, and, you know, fishing the same deal. But these fish are, I'm like you, Mickey. If there's fish there, numbers of what's there, you're going to catch some.
Sure.
And if there's not very many, you ain't going to catch a lot. That's why I'm having to move so
well,
much.
Well, they got to really be in the mood and snapping and biting big time, you know. When you got smaller numbers, you're going to catch them good.
Yeah. And like I told Kenny, where he caught them fish yesterday, I said, I tell you what, I wouldn't even go back there today. You ain't going to catch them there. We don't catch them nowhere the same. I got a little old deal that's when they bite, it's two little places that are real close to each other. Mm. Man, you roll in right here and catch you 15 or 16, you'll catch that on one pass. Right. And then you roll over here, you don't have to get on plane, you just idle. Roll over there, put the hook out, catch you 10 or 12. You know, hey, that's good fishing. You done caught almost 30 fish, and it's like 8 o'clock.
Right.
But you go do that one day, uh-oh, I didn't catch but three here. I had this big master plan the other day. I put Ken and them out. I said, okay, y'all going to catch 4 or 5 apiece. I'm going to roll over here, take old Ron, paratrooper Ron. We're going to go over here, and we'll catch 5 or 6. You know, we'll catch our old fish before the sun ever comes up. We don't even get a bite. I caught a flounder. Can I go pick Ken and Mike up? I said, man, they probably got them. They got 2 fish. And I said, this ain't good. This ain't good. So I beat it up the whole day, and we caught 16 fish. Caught a couple everywhere we went. So, but even, I guess there's some kind of front tomorrow. I got Kelly Rise and them going with me tomorrow. He's probably listening. I don't know what we're going to catch tomorrow. Catch some. So, but yeah, just that day of. As a matter of fact, I ain't even booking the day of no more. The day of the full moon, the day of the new moon, I ain't going. I'm going to go play golf. It ain't no good, man. Hey, and anywhere I fished, and then I kind of got mad because I wasn't catching nothing. I said, man, I'm going to get these fish to go. And Keith and then they've been fishing me for years. Finally, it's like 12, 15. You say, hey, man.
How about their Katie Roofing guys?
No, they're going too. These are, well, I had a big group that fit, it was Standard Auto Parts, because you're in the parts business.
Yeah.
And those guys, they would entertain all their customers. So Standard Auto Parts was about, I don't know, Mickey, maybe 30 trips a year.
Right, I remember those guys,
Yeah, the company's been sold 2 or 3 times. Everybody's retired, and they're all gone. So just Keith and a couple of guys, they go with me a couple of times a year still.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's got no. So I'm still out there beating it up. About 12, 15, he said, hey, man, let's go. Take us home. Let's get out of here, man. So we went in. You know me, once I get mad about something, I'm trying to focus on something. I don't care. I said, man, somewhere I can get a bite. You know, man, poor old Kenny, he waited and beat it up till like 3 o'clock. They caught 2 fish. And I talked to Dana. Well,
he
lasted
a lot longer than I would have had.
Got mad too. Couldn't catch nothing. He was just mad because he couldn't catch nothing. So I talked to Dana, and they finally caught 9. But at 11 o'clock, he didn't have a fish. Not one.
Nasty, nasty, nasty.
So, I mean, that's just Thursday. I don't know what they caught yesterday. I didn't talk to nobody. But it was just that day, man. And the current ran so hard, brother. I'm anchored up looking at this place, you know, where you can see how much the tide's moving. We sat there about 45 minutes, and I watched about 8 inches of water go away.
Was that outgoing yesterday?
Thursday. The day of that moon, buddy, I promise you, was running 4 knots.
Yeah, it was negative 01 coming off of 1.8 high during the night.
Yeah, it left this place, I promise you. And that's another thing. Hey, you got all kind of excuses, but that old current's running hard. But at the end of the day,
well,
you got a lot
of where you're fishing too, you know.
Yeah, well, even here at my house, man, Mickey, it pulls the plug on it.
I'm telling you.
Look, I talked to some of my buddies that are even fishing over here in the channels and stuff like that, where there really shouldn't be many trout, honestly. And they're catching some, you know, when they bite, they're catching some fish and some nice fish. It's like there's fish scattered everywhere. My boys Christian and them that fish with me, they just went flounder fishing the other day just for something to do. They caught 100, what did he tell me? They caught 102 flounders, him and his brother.
Just because they can?
Just fishing. You know, they don't keep nothing. They don't keep any fish. They don't keep none. Trouts, reds, flounders, none of it. Just to go. But that shows you when there's nobody doing it, nobody's in the way, what you can catch.
I know.
Hey, Larry went over there, him and
Joe.
December
15th, they'll be bumping elbows, man.
Yeah, and they'll catch them good 2 or 3 days, and then you won't be able to go nowhere. But Larry and Jody went over there to shoot a Angler U video. Larry ain't never even been flounder fishing over there, and they caught 30 on lures, on jigs.
Yeah.
So think about if you was really a flounder man and really wanted to get them and got all the good stuff.
That's why it's closed. That's why TPNW closes it when they do.
They'll close everything.
That's micromanaging. Let's just shut it all down, huh?
Catch and release for everybody. Matter of fact, don't even buy no boat.
You know, beware what we wish for, because those days could be coming. You just
No, Mickey, they're coming. You and I, they're coming. It's just a matter of when, and it ain't very far. You watch. And I told somebody the other day, I said, when they did all that three fish stuff, and I say, because I don't care what the limit is. I don't care if I ever keep another trout in my life. I said, if they really wanted to fix this thing, you just shut it down for 2 years, catch and release just on trouts. And you keep your old drums and reds or whatever y'all want to do, but you ain't keeping no trout for 2 years. Oh, man, TPNW couldn't have done that. Well, why not? You look up on the East Coast, buddy, they'll shut that thing down so fast.
They'll shut it down. That's exactly right. Well, speaking of shutdown, let me knock this break out. I'm going to shut you down for a second here. I'll come back at you, James. Hang with me.
All right, go ahead, buddy.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show. It's 5:17 here in the Bayou City. Okay, James, we are back, buddy. Back at it.
What I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm sitting here looking at what I'm going to do tomorrow. Man, they keep backing off of that wind for tomorrow. I'm looking at the railroad bridge. The highest I see is like 10, 9 o'clock is like 12 miles an hour. Then it starts fading out.
Yeah.
And it goes. Then
what direction? Monday, northeast?
Yeah, it's got it new dark in the morning, and then coming around. Where is it? Sunday? Where am I? That's Saturday. Yeah, here's Sunday. Yeah, almost due north, and then it drops out. And then about on Monday, man, Monday's going to suck, dude. And then Monday, man, it's right around 15 till noon, so you better find you somewhere something to do.
Yeah,
out of the east wind.
I've always got something to do.
Yeah, well, I need to go to work, but I don't know the water. What was the water? I just saw it.
70.
Yeah, they changed all this. 76.8, bro, at the railroad bridge.
Yeah, and it's 76 at Eagle Point, 74 at Morgan's Point, 77, almost 77 in the Galveston Channel. So,
yeah,
here now, it is almost Thanksgiving, mid 70s water temps.
I'd have to really go look at some bugs to see if I can find 77 degree water on November the 20th, and I bet I can't.
Probably I can.
You think so? You think?
Yeah,
we
man, I remember one November. You know, here in Trinity, I mean, there was fish all the way from the very back by Green Island down this whole west side. I mean, all the way to Houston Point, Dow's Reef and all that. And it was warm like this. And you called me. Pete and I were doing something. I think I had a brisket on or something on a Sunday, and you called me and said, hey, man, y'all need to get out here. This is just absolutely stupid. You can't get out of them. There's fish everywhere. And you said, birds are working, miles of birds. Well, Pete and I said, well, let's throw the boat in and go catch a quick limit and come back and finish this brisket up. Hey, we get out there around the corner, run all the way up. I hadn't seen a bird forever. You can tell it's over. You're already gone. You're cleaned up and headed back to G-Town. But I looked on the water there up by the sunken dredge out there in front of Bay Place, and there's a seagull sitting on the water. I said, well, there's one sitting there. Maybe there's a school of fish in here. There wasn't any signs of anything. We cut the key off, and we started drifting towards that bird. We couldn't get out of them. We caught fish nonstop for an hour, and I said, man, look at that bird. He's just staying ahead of us, just keeps swimming ahead of us, staying on this school of fish. It was a pintail decoy.
Oh, no.
It come out of the marsh, man. It was just moving with the tide.
Just
I pulled in on a decoy and caught fish. That's how many fish we used to have. That's stupid, isn't it?
I tell you who I remember who I had that day. I remember calling you. Yeah, we barely.
I said, why aren't y'all out here? I said, man, we're cooking. Quit cooking. Get out here. It's stupid.
Yeah, we. You know what we was catching them on that day? We was catching them fish on thunder sticks that day underneath.
Oh, yeah.
Bunch of 3-pounders, man. I was thinking about that. It's funny what stuff you think about when you ain't catching nothing. So we're out there drifting out here by the house. And there's one little old scratch. You come off of this little bit of shell, and it hits some mud right there, and you get a couple bites, you know. And they're good, you know, get 19, 20-inch fish. And then half the time you go through there, you don't get nothing. I told them, guys, man, you know what? I used to cut off right there at marker 21, and I could drift all the way to Green's Cut right there and never quit catching them. I may get a little low. You didn't catch them as fast. I could catch them across this whole bank.
That was so stupid back then. I mean, that's what we did. You know,
it
kind of petered out up here a little bit, and I'd start pulling down there and putting in his sneak wood with all of y'all. I mean, you just pop out and hit the old intercoastal and all that shell between there and, you know, from Confed all the way to Greens and Kronk and all that. Just, hey, find you a streak, just start drifting, you catch all the fish in the world.
All the fish. Hey, next time you talk to Charlie next week, ask Charlie about that. He'll tell you. And there was nobody out there. It was us when you came down there, but it was just
all
us.
I'd ever see was you or Charlie or Maurice.
Maurice used to drift in, and then them boys from Dickinson, Goose and Squid.
Yeah,
Billy Roberts,
Goose, right.
Johnny Parker.
Billy Roberts, man, I hadn't seen him in years. He's still around?
Billy's still going good. He's having a little health issue right now, but I think he's going to come back. Sammy died, and Johnny don't fish no more. He sold the company. And he bought a ranch somewhere, and you know, all the old guard's gone.
Yeah.
But
we're next.
All the old guards are gone everywhere. But and I'm sitting there trying to get 3 bites on one ledge when I used to cut the key off and just I ain't kidding about this. This is a true story. I had Warren Shared, Johnny Holmes, and Russell. They went with me every New Year's Eve for years. It didn't matter where we were fishing. New Year's Eve, we went. Warren didn't drink. One of the greatest gentlemen I've ever known in my life. Greatest quail hunter, trained dog. He's just a saint. He passed away. He used to come over here and just talk to Carol, and him and her would sit out here while I'm fishing and just talk forever, just drive down here. Anyway, They buried him with this mirror lure, this story I'm telling you. So we stopped there behind South Deer Island, and we catch, I don't know, 25 or 30 fish on mirrors. It's blowing out of the northeast. I mean, nice ones. Not no 5-pounders, but just good fish. It's, man, let's go. And we left there, and I cut off right there. Remember the old sunken barge? It was still kind of up right there.
Uh-huh.
We cut off right there, and we drifted almost to Greens. And I think we caught over 75 trout. It's the same kind of stuff we used to do in Trinity Bay on Dallas.
One drift.
Had to be right there. One drift, we never pulled around. And Warren said, hey, Blog, I'm going to take this mirror lure. I said, you know what, Warren, I'm going to give you that mirror lure. Here's a chartreuse and gold mirror lure, a 52.
CHG.
He kept it forever. And when they buried Warren, they buried him with that mirror lure right there.
You know, I buried my dad with a 28. A TT 28. That's what he always threw in the surf, man. That was his favorite mirror lure of all time. 28 series.
Man, I remember him and your mama.
But I didn't put an old one in there with him. David Brown stopped by Marburgers or Fish and Tackle Unlimited or somewhere and bought a brand new one in the box, and we laid it on his chest. Closed the lid, put him in the ground, baby.
Two people like that, Dave Huddleston, he was old. I drug him all the way up north there about 35 miles. He said, man, what are we doing and where are we going? And Dave, just hang on. He's old. He had one of the original state record tarpons. Records. State
right.
And, hey, we roll up there, and I out around a little while, and we started seeing them. He said, man, them's tarpon. And I said, yeah, Mr. Dave, them's tarpon. This what we're doing. Anyway, I think we jumped five and caught three. He caught a big one about 180. He was having hell. He just sat in the leaning post, and I was just like marlin fishing. I'm just, you know, back trying to get him. Man, right. He had that fish right there. I said, Dave, just give me a little bit. Just give me a little bit. Get that wire on this fish. And we got him, and he caught that fish. And I cut the hook off and took it out, and I gave it to him, and they buried him with that thing.
I'll be darned.
So, but now back to the fishing. It was I just like that deal of Matagorda that Charlie's talking about. When we started going down there, Charlie, when we got flooded here, Charlie said, y'all need to come down here and fish. I didn't know how to get out into the bay. I got a map. I know absolutely nothing. Well, hell, I left my boat there for 3 years.
I remember that.
But you could just stop on the school. It's the only place, Mickey, I ever seen rival Trinity Bay that I thought was maybe as good as Trinity Bay was that deal down there.
Right.
Hey, the old birds would quit working. You just sat there. Just sit there and you wait, and then you see the shrimp start jumping, then the trout start jumping out of the water. Hell, there ain't no birds. You catch another 20 or 30 fish.
But yeah, that's when I like nobody. It when you find them before the birds do, because the birds find you, the bird doggers find you then.
They get you. Hey, but of all the things, no matter what anybody says, I don't care about South Texas, I don't care about none of that stuff. When Trinity Bay was in its heyday, there wasn't a better bay on the Texas coast, and anybody says different's lying.
That's so true.
Anybody says different's lying. All those people from
it was a fish factory, man.
It was, and I don't know what. I don't understand it. I don't. I kind of understand it driving to your house now and look at what I see. I mean, Mickey, if I didn't know how to get to your house, I'd be lost. Nothing looks the same.
No.
It's like, it's gosh almighty.
Changing before our eyes. Wait till they put that barge terminal in right down the road from my house here, right there at Cedar Bayou. I mean, it's changing fast. They're already running trucks and moving dirt and everything, clearing all that. I mean, off that point from Cedar Bayou. I mean, Mesquite Knoll will be gone. Well, it's already gone from, what you know, Shipwakes. It's under the water.
Right,
now,
it's already gone from the Shipwakes.
But,
yeah.
I mean, all of that is just... Tabs Bay is shrinking now. All the Tuesday night flats are filling that all in with spoil, and I mean it's gone, brother. I mean, I have sat here and watched everything just disappear right before my eyes.
Oh, I know it. I know you have. I wonder. I don't. You think the fish would adapt? I was sitting here fishing the other day, looking at everywhere I'm fishing, and it's all garbage. It's all. Something man-made, and the places that we used to fish, they ain't got nothing. And I wonder if those fish will adapt to what's there, or they
well, they will.
Come
I mean, I but it
or they won't come. I don't know.
But they're covering up habitat and creating new habitat with the stuff that was nature-made. Now everything's man-made, and it's It's a hard pill to swallow.
It is. I guess, you know, the way we have to guide, or the way I do, with my trolling motor in the back and stuff like that, to fish all that riprap and all them rocks and stuff, I really can't do it right unless I get the right wind. Where, like you got a front trolling motor, put your guys up there in the front, and you can prospect that stuff a lot better than what I can. Like, I got some stuff I'm fishing here. If the wind's just a little bit off, nobody can throw. They're all backlashing, throwing over
right.
each other. It won't work. Where that would be an advantage. But You have to fish stuff like that or you're not going to catch anything.
Well, that casting platform I had in the front of my boat, I ended up putting a cushion on it, and I'll sit on it, and then I'll position the boat and get it just right, and then I can get a guy on each side of me, and they can just launch right off the bow and
that's the way
pinpoint
to do it.
Those fish. And that way they see what's going on. I got a bottom machine up there. I know what my structure is, and I know where I need to be. I'll have, waypoints punched in where the sweet spots are, and I can stay on top of them that way while they throw at them. Let me knock this break out, James. Hang on, man. I'll come right back.
Oh, yeah, brother. Yeah.
All right, dog. All right. Well, the Belleville Meat Market, what a great place to shop for grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken, and no better processing facility in my books anywhere in the state. I've been using their processing facility now for well over 20 years. It's consistent. The blends that I like to have made of sausage and my burger, Italian sausage, all that, it's the same every year. Consistency is definitely the key. And no better place to shop. Check out their full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., along with bulk pricing on fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage. And now's the time to go ahead and get your custom boxes built for Christmas. They'll help you do that and put together a really nice gift for someone from the Belleville Meat Market. And their wild game processing facility, 3-lane drop-off. It's fast, convenient, and definitely the quality of their packaging and the way they do the process, nothing beats it. So check them out. They've been celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, 5:35 here in the Bayou City. Okay, James, we're back at it, man.
Roger, buddy.
Hey, while we're on break, I was thinking about how it just the way things looked 50 years ago just to now, and it's like you blink your eyes and everything's just if you hadn't been here in 10 years and you show back up around my place, you won't even know where you're at.
You would not know. You know, I was sitting here thinking, God has blessed us to be able to do this, blessed me to meet you when I was a punk kid, and blessed us to be able to do this.
I'll never forget that night at the boat show. You come up there, and I couldn't stop laughing. I said, this guy is crazy. He's like us.
Well, we've had a hell of a good run, and I still enjoy going, Mickey. It's different.
I know. Well, look at Maurice, man. He's old as dirt, and he's still going. I mean, it's in his blood. He can't get away from it.
We sat up there. I was getting fuel, and here he comes. He pulls up there. He had a big boat wreck. They run into his boat. That's Maurice. Get that checkbook out. Buy your house here at Tiki and just put that thing in a sling. I had one. I'm stupid. I sold it. I said, well, buy you another one.
Well, get another
money's
one.
Tight. I said, money's tight.
Money ain't tight for him, man.
You can go tell that to somebody else. But we
you
had
don't
a
see
good
tight money. He needs to come over to my house.
Yeah, for real.
Or your house. Come get you some.
We sat there and talked so long. It's dark. The lights come on at the filling station. The mosquitoes are biting us. Man, we got to go. But I'm going to take him fishing a few times this winter stuff. But every time he catches one, it's like, he ain't never caught another one, So pretty cool, pretty good inspiration.
I don't know many people who caught more trout than Maurice Essenbaum. I can tell you that.
Me either. Ain't that
that guy's ripped some lips up from? Been doing it forever. Still he's around. I think that's what keeps him going. Got something to live for, man.
He's 85.
You got to have something to live for.
Yeah, well, see, now
you lay down, you die, man. You lose interest, you lay down and die. Stay out of the recliner. Just do something,
Keep chunking.
If you're not able to fish anymore, get in and out of a boat, find you something else to do.
I turn this into a game. Now it's so hard.
Yeah.
That now it's a challenge to me. I'm like, okay, I'm going to figure this out. And I was telling whoever was fishing me the other day, they've been fishing with a long time. When we were all fishing together, we competed. I mean, we went to be the best every day. And y'all,
I wouldn't come to the dog unless I know I had you and Blaine on the ropes.
That's what we did. And now there's nobody to do that with because nobody cares. I mean, they really don't.
What are you gonna, you can't pop a box up there and say, look at this, boys.
Yeah, those
days are
gone.
We're gonna throw you three little old 15 to 20 inches up there and take a photo of it and beat your chest and go, look at this, man.
But that made us good. That made you and Blaine.
Yeah,
it did. Because we're trying to beat each other. Like today, tomorrow, I'm going to go try to beat who's ever floating out there. I don't even know who they are, but I'm going to go try to do it. But it ain't like the old days, man.
I used to pop a wade. If I couldn't catch 50 pounds or better, I had a bad day. I'm mad at myself because I didn't get on any big ones.
I know. Remember that? Dadgum. But, you know, if you go back, let's go back even to them days, the limit on a trout was 14 inches at that time.
Yeah.
If it was still 14 inches and it was 10 still, I could go every day. You could too. I could go every day and catch 30 or 40, 14 to 14 and a half inch trout.
Yeah.
Every day. But you can't do that. I'm not so sure, and I was thinking about this, or you and I might have been talking about it. Okay, so now you've got you a slot. But we did it the wrong way. The slots on the bass lakes are the ones we're keeping.
Yeah.
They don't keep. You got
to. That's what we always said years ago, man. You need to have a middle slot that are protected. That's your brood stock. That's the ones that spawn and produce the most for their body weight and size.
Exactly. Now,
you know,
look what we've done is
them big giant trout on the other end. It's like a 7, 8, 9-year-old whitetail buck. I mean, he's done. He's already run his course. He's on the way out. You got to protect your middle stock, man.
100%.
It's like a deer ranch. You want to let all your 2 to 6-year-olds walk and then kill them on the backside when they're 7, 8, and 9.
100%. So look what we're doing now. We're taking them.
We're killing all the teenagers.
100%. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some kind. You're going to see the repercussion about that. We should have it, the middle slot. Hey, man, there's a 23-inch trout. Kill him. Well, look how many he spawns. I mean, that's what TPNW said. Well, that's fine, dude. There's not that many of him.
How many males you think are big enough to service a 23-inch trout left in this bay system? We don't have any of
them
big 2, 3, and 4-pound males anymore that could take it. See, if you got a 6-pound trout that's dumping all of her eggs, she's got to have a male half her size, you know, a good 2.5, 3-pound male to have enough sperm to fertilize all those eggs.
Right. But we're taking them. That's what everybody's trying to get. We're weeding them out. And I just think there's going to be, you know, and you and I ain't stupid. There's always going to be more 14 inches than there are anything else or 12 inches. That's just how it is. But I think we just went about this deal the whole wrong way. And I dispute anybody to tell me, my guys, we talk about it all the time. We've seen the no limit, the 20, the 10, the 5, and now the 3. And I asked my guys, you tell me one time that it made any of that better. Well, that's a bad answer. That's nothing.
The more we managed it, the worse it got.
The worse it got, 100%. And then they tell you.
They say, well, there's more people fishing now than there used to be. That's a bunch of bullcorn. I mean, I used to have to wait an hour in line at a boat ramp just to get my boat in. Those days,
dude. Remember,
we
used to come to your house. Remember, we'd get in line and then go back to your house and drink coffee.
Yeah. Till Crawley opened the gate over there, and they were lined up down the highway. You had to do that, or you couldn't get out of my driveway to get on the highway to get to Crawley's.
Hey, there's so few people fishing right now, Mickey. I don't see. And I don't go on Saturdays, but I don't see 4 to 8. I don't even think I can say I've seen 10.
It's real easy. You can tell how good fishing is by the amount of people that are doing it. I mean, I live out here on the bay, and I see fewer boats now, people pulling, putting in. I mean, the numbers are, I mean, compared to 10 years ago, there's nobody fishing anymore. Dude, and if it was good, everybody would be fishing again.
Hey, man, I'm at Fort Anawak Park. Only time I went to Trinity Bay. There's one truck and trailer. Now, there's three crabbers they put in on the riverside.
Right.
There's one sport fishing trailer. I pop out. He's working them lights right there by the pink or gray house, whatever color it is, and I don't even know. Then he goes away. I never see another boat. I pull into Fort Anawak Park on, like, October the 16th. I'm the only truck and trailer at Fort Anawak Park.
Used to, there'd be 50, 60 boat trailers there.
I'm telling you, buddy.
This time of year. That's.
I'm telling you.
That's where we're at, dog. And it's got to hurt the industry. I know that there's got, you know, the tackle guys, you know, that sell lures. And I mean, it's so flooded. I mean, look at rod companies now. I don't even know. There's so many, I don't even know who they are anymore. It's just like Gads. You know, I used to know everybody. I don't know anybody anymore. It's all changed.
Well, that's why I think Angler U is a really good deal for us. Because as tough as fishing is, and if you really enjoy it, you know, we got some stuff in there, and you need a little edge nowadays, because it ain't just pop out.
I mean, if people will listen and observe and acknowledge that and absorb it, it'll make them a better fisherman. They'll learn.
And you got to get better now. If you don't get better, you're going to get tired of going and not catching nothing.
That's exactly right.
It's like golf, dude. If I never got any better, and it was the same old... Even like a year ago, I said, man, I'm either going to get better or I'm going to quit.
In life, if you're going to be good at it, you got to work at it.
You have to work at it.
I don't care what you do for a living and what sport you're involved in. If you don't practice and don't, you're not going to get any better.
Man, look when you were playing tennis, man, how much you played and how many matches.
I'd fish 10 hours a day, come home, take a shower, go to the club, and I'd play till 10 o'clock every night, work out till 10 o'clock, and then get up and go fish the next day.
I watched you do it. Was damn good at it, too. I ain't never seen that many trophies. But, of course, we was a lot younger. I played 27 holes yesterday. The first nine, we was okay. Back nine, didn't play very good. Joe said, let's play nine more, so I don't care. And usually, if I play 27, I just practice on that nine.
Yeah.
And Joe said, man, I got to keep score. I said, why? I don't want to play unless you keep score. I said, okay, I'll write everything down. And that was probably one of the best nines I've ever played yesterday afternoon. I wanted to keep playing. I said, man, I'm on a roll right now, kind of like fishing. But
I'm
man,
with you.
Work.
When you're rolling, man, it's hard to walk away from it. Speaking of rolling, I got to roll out of here and go to old Sharky across the bridge from you over here and check his pulse this morning.
All right, man. Good conversation, buddy.
Well, yeah, here's a guy sent me a text. I remember before Plog was even born. I don't know. That's a pretty long time ago, buddy.
That's a poker. Hey, whoever that guy
said he's
is.
Fishing with, you know, Gut Gutierrez and Napoli. Well.
Oh, that goes back to the day.
I remember old B.B. Hillman and Gut Gutierrez used to drift next to me on Dow's Reef back in the day. We're all cranking mirror lures, catching the heck out of 4 and 5 pound trout every cast.
Man, that was fun. Hey, and I tell people that like they know. I said, look, man, just like we used to fish with mirror lures, you know, throw.
That's
they look
it.
At me like it's foreign. They don't even know what I'm talking about. Like,
yeah, you might as well be talking.
Quick, that's like that kid. I'm telling, he's tarpon fishing with me. He said, hey, man, 1 o'clock. And he don't throw. He don't do anything. I'm like, hey, man, right there. And
1 o'clock.
This happened about 5 or 6 times. And Larry looked at me and said, hey, man, I don't think he knows about hands on the clock. I said, hey, man, do you know what I'm telling you? Not really, sir, Mr. James. He knows is digital. He doesn't know about hands on a clock, and it blew me away, dude.
Hand me that rotary dial phone right there. Oh, man. All right, Plog. Hey, throw out a number. Somebody wants to come go to the bottom with you, brother.
All right, brother. 409-771-7306.
All right. Put them boys on some fish tomorrow. All right, man.
All right, brother.
Later. All right, let's jump the bridge. Let's go check in with old Sharky this morning. Good morning, Michael. What's going on down your way, man?
What's up, brother?
Not a lot, dog.
What you doing, man?
Just trying to make another day, buddy. Make another day.
Yep. Well, you sound good. You looking good, man. We are
alive. We're
ready
and
to go catch a ball. That's right. That's right. It's a blessing.
Yes.
Blessing, my friend. We are just doing the finishing touches here on the boat, getting everybody locked and loaded, ready to go make some memories. We're loading up the shrimp right now as we speak. And I don't know how many fish we're going to catch today, but I promise we're going to kill a whole bunch of shrimp.
Or die. Hey, they'll either catch fish or die trying, huh?
That's right.
Hop-a-matics. That's right.
Man, it looks good, Mickey. We got a little, looks like a little bit of a minor, I guess you could call it a front. Looks like two winds are coming together, coming in sometime mid, you know, a little. I think we're going to get avoided. I really do. It looks like it's going to taper off, but it might change the fishing up a little bit.
Yeah, there's rain up around the Woodlands and Kingwood and, you know, up that way, but it's all tracking to the northeast. I don't see it hitting the coast.
Yeah, who knows, Mickey? I don't know.
But, dude, you know, keep your eyes peeled that way just in case.
Yeah, we're going to keep our eyes on it, man. It should be pretty good. You can chill here for a second, Blake. Should be pretty good. Sorry, brother. We're just untying right here.
I understand. You got things to do.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe we'll get lucky in that little pre-front that comes in. Maybe we'll catch a little crazy bite or something whenever that little wind shift happens. So
yeah, they're calling for it to go like north 5 to 10. Right now we got like, what, a west at 1 or something. They were down. I hadn't checked it.
Yeah, it's beautiful, man. You could
southwest
skip a rock
at 2,
across
man.
The bay.
Yeah, you better put your life jacket on this morning.
Yeah, man. Hopefully it'll be good. Gosh, what a November, man. We got warm waters. We've been catching trout and redfish and all the great warm water fish that
right.
It's almost like a early spring / late summer bite in November, you know,
right.
Coming up on December. It's crazy.
Hey, I'll take this over that bitter cold stuff.
Well,
we know that's coming.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
heck yeah.
I'll take it.
No, me too, man. Me too. If we're with any luck, you know, this means that hopefully those those flounder are on fire, Mickey.
That's what James would just tell me. He had some guys that went and fished for him, just specifically for him, catch and release, and caught over 100.
Dude, I probably was sitting right there next to him, dude. I watched this boat of two guys fishing this corner, and I promise you, I mean, we caught in 10 minutes. I'm not even playing with you. In 10 minutes, I think we caught 28 flounder. I had three people casting in the water. But this boat of two guys, you know, you could tell they knew what they were doing. They were, you could tell that you knew what they were doing. They've been fishing for a while. They just did it for fun. Man, they were catching up. I mean, it was like those flounder had to be laying on top of each other. I mean, just laying on top of each other.
How they pile up like that. That is nuts.
Yeah. So, and we ain't even got a good cold front yet. So just,
no.
I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know.
I think,
well,
other than,
it'll be really,
you know,
killer.
Water temperature and all that, I think just from the time of year, you know, the days are shorter, photosynthesis, you know, and these fish know. They just, they attract to it, and that's how. It's in their, you know, it's in their instincts.
Yeah. Yep. It's insane, man. It's insane. We'll see. Maybe we'll get, you know, I think I was looking at next weekend. It's supposed to be like, you know, low of somewhere in the 50s. So obviously some big cold fronts are going to be pushing through.
Yeah.
And, shoot, man, with any luck, it's held off so long that maybe we'll get an extended bite on these flatfish, you know?
Well, I'm hoping these fish will hang on until everybody can get back at them. I mean,
yeah.
At least
maybe
these
we'll
fish could do is give them a week or two of good fishing, you know, into January or so.
Well, heck yeah. That would be nice to be able to push it. Because usually, I mean, I always tell our folks you get that first 2 weeks, you know, that last 2 weeks of December, that first 2 weeks where it opens back up, you know, December 15th, and you get right there into January. And usually it slows down pretty quick. You know, usually, I mean, you can still catch them, but you ain't catching them like we're catching them now, you know?
Nope.
But man, if that pushes through January, that would be nice.
Now, you got your catch and release flounder tournament going on right now for customers.
We
right?
do.
What,
we do.
What's I gotta look right at, now? What's your biggest flatfish?
You know, I got to look at the board. I think we got a 22 3/4 or something on there. Okay. You know, decent fish, solid sure. fish, nothing crazy. But we, like I said, I mean, we just started kind of messing around with them, going back that last 15-20 minutes. But man, I mean, I gotta think if I sat on a spot for, you know, a couple hours, man, we would cycle through a lot of them. We'd probably nuke catch City. A couple real nice ones. Yeah,
yeah, sit there and nuke them.
Yeah. But you know, it's fun, but it's at the same time, you know, we only mess around with them when we've got a box full sure. of fish, our customers are super happy for the day. And we've got, you know, a little bit of some extra time in that trip, you know. Other than that, we like to leave them be and, you know.
I'm with you. No sense punching holes in them, you know, for no reason.
That's true. That's true, man. That's true.
Hit them a little bit, get out of there. Same way with these little trout. Quit beating on them. Just, you know.
That's
right. All right, dog. Well, I know you're busy. Y'all got to get out and get after it, man, and just keep an eye to the north, but I don't think anything's going to hit the coast. I may be wrong, but
yeah,
look favorable. But throw them out some info so they can reach out and come down and make some memories with you guys.
Man, we would love to have you guys. I hope everybody has a blessed and safe weekend with their families. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. We'd love to have you guys out here in Galveston, Texas. Check us out at Outcast Charters. You can Google us right here. And then also Bayside Event Center, man. You could come lodge up with us, stay the night, hop on the boat, go make some memories, and have a birthday party, get married, you name it. We do it all.
All right, Sharky. Hey, y'all have a great day out there. Be safe and catch them up, my friend.
God bless, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Later. All right.
Later, man.
All right, that's Captain Sharky down there in G-Town. It's time for our top of the hour break and national anthem, all that good stuff. You're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.